Welcome to the Transform Your Mind Radio Hour and Podcast, a show about transformation, mindset transformation. This is Life Coach Marnie Young, and in my book, Out of the Snares, A Story of Hope and Encouragement, I share my journey of being born in poverty in Guyana to have an abundance in America. And I did it by changing my mindset. Let's go do it. Each week, I bring you guests or one-on-one coaching sessions to help you change your mindset and transform your life. Welcome back to the Transform Your Mind to Transform Your Life radio, podcast, and television show. I'm your host, Life Coach Marnie Young, and sitting in the guest chair today is Samantha Root. Samantha is a grief expert, and we are going to be talking today on the topic of what grief and mental health have in common. I know that we're in a time right now where a lot of us are experiencing grief, whether it's, you know, our bodies or self are sick, or loved ones are dying left and right. You know, we're in a place where we can't really socialize. So we've got a lot of grief and mental health issues come in. So I'm going to, you know, enjoy my conversation with Samantha today. Hopefully that we can shed some light and to ease some of the pain and suffering that accompanies grief. So welcome, Samantha.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yes. All right. You're very welcome. All right. So let me give you guys a brief bio of Samantha, just so as to introduce her to you. Samantha Root is a transformational psychologist, speaker, best-selling author, and founder of Grief Hab, a 24/7 support community for anyone who has experienced a loss. Sam helps people around the world turn their pain into their power by guiding them to their true selves. Her mission is to change the way the world views mental health so people can openly speak about whatever issues they have and get the help that they need and deserve without fear of judgment, labels, and repercussions. Sam understands what it's like to feel overwhelmed, lost, stuck, and alone. After unexpectedly losing her husband, Jim, Sam felt like her life had been shattered into tiny, unrecognizable pieces. It took this experience, though, for her to learn how to tune out the noise of everything and everybody else and focus on listening to herself. Her favorite quote, and it's now become mine, life isn't about waiting for the storm to pass. It's about learning to dance in the rain. Yeah, it's a process to go from one end of the spectrum to the next end, but it can happen. You know, there is hope for people that are in the storm right now. You know, it's actually my message, you know.
And you know, that's huge, because I didn't believe there was. I really, really didn't. And I know a lot of people listening don't. And you don't have to see it or recognize it or know where it's coming from. Just believe us. I've been there. It'll come.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I remember listening to this story, and, you know, I wouldn't say it yet, but I'll talk about it in the middle of it, about someone shared a story, and I don't remember if it's in a podcast or a book or what, but it was a story that changed my mindset on grief. But anyway, so the first question I have for you is normally how I like to start out, because, you know, we need to set up, you know, relationship with the audience. So can you share your story of losing your husband and how did that tragedy help you achieve the purpose of helping others through grief? Because a lot of times, you know, I firmly believe that God gives you a test so you can have a testimony. God puts you through the storm so you can help other people. And that's obviously what your story has turned out to be. So can you share a little bit of it with us?
He was my everything. I met him when I was 24 years old, living in Michigan, and we were together for a few years, but we were still both young and silly and career driven. And so we went our separate ways. And during that time, he moved to Colorado and we reconnected. in June of 2013. We were married the following August, and he passed away unexpectedly 3 years, just a little over 3 years later. And I truly, you know, I had left my family, my career. I was just completely lost and had no idea what was next.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, that is. So, yeah. So now you're thinking about all the time you wasted in the middle, right?
Fortunately, when we reconnected, we knew what it was like to be apart and we did not waste time. We cherished every minute together. So I do. That's what I take from the time away, is that we didn't have silly, petty fights and we didn't let the small things get in the way. We really took advantage of our time together.
Yeah. Well, I think it's about the time that I can introduce that story that I mentioned. But this woman was talking about, she was a psychologist, actually, just like you. And she was helping patients go through grief and loss and all that. And she told the story that one day they were going to pick up her. It wasn't her child. It was her husband's child. He was 18. He was turning 18 the next day, and they were going to go pick him up from the airport. And she decided to walk her dog. And while she walked her dog, her husband said he's going to jump in the river and swim. And it's something he did every day. But, you know, he did that. And she was walking her dog and she heard him scream or something. And she didn't pay much attention to it because she knows he's a strong swimmer. But when she changed her mind and decided to, maybe when she heard him scream again, she decided to go, you know, to investigate it. She saw him clutching a tree in the middle of the storm. Apparently there was some kind of a wild current that day. And she actually physically saw him drown, right? And she told, said her whole world shattered. She couldn't help patients any longer. She, you know, then she had to go tell her, the hardest part is of telling the son that his father died in his 18th birthday, knowing that he would never be able to have a birthday again the same. And then she told this analogy that until that time, I never really understood it. She said, well, when you have grief, it's like this, you don't have sun anymore, but your neighbor has sun. She would say she would get up in the morning, or her neighbor next door, while she's in this black cloud of grief, her neighbor would be getting up and going to get his morning paper, you know, and clueless of what's going on in her world. And she said, it's like going to a movie where you're watching a horror movie and the next person next door is watching a comedy. And it was poignant for me to understand that your world, somebody can be raining and the next door person beside you is full of sunshine. So did you experience that when you talked about your world being in tiny little, shattered in tiny pieces? Can you expand on how you handle that?
Yeah, and I also want to add that it's invisible, right? We don't have a cast or, you know, a broken arm or something that people can see. We live in this world that avoids the uncomfortable conversations. So it continues to go on the way it is and people don't know. The first year is truly a complete blur. If you told me we went to Japan together, I would trust your memory over mine. I went through the motions. I survived. I am a psychologist trained in trauma. And so there was pressure. I don't know if your friend who's also a psychologist experienced that, but there was pressure to bounce back quicker than anyone else would, because it's what I do. And I couldn't and wouldn't do that. And I had to find my own way. So there were sunny houses all over the place. And mine was just like this forest that I had to figure out how to get through all by myself. And with everybody piping in, of course, right? Yeah. The world expects you to get back to work and your family, you know, everybody's pulling from a different direction. And that was when, for the first time in my life, I had to tune it all out and be true to myself. And it was only, we're women, we take care of people. I'm a psychologist. I take care of people. I made a conscious decision that I was in so much pain. I had to take care of me. And it went in a direction that was unfamiliar to me and to everyone else, which made more noise, but that's the way through. So to anyone struggling, I encourage you to find the strength to listen to the voice. Don't listen to the others.
Yeah, yeah. I mentioned you, you said that in the bio about tuning out the noise. Now I understand what you're talking about, the noise of other people. Right. Now I know that she wasn't a friend. It was somebody that I heard the story and it moved me that I always remember it. She said she couldn't work. You know, she couldn't possibly go and sit in a chair and try to help someone else when she was in pain.
Right. So I didn't work either. And I am a very planning. Up until this point, I had been a very type A, organized, go, go, go. I could tell you what was next for years. I had no idea what was next. At approaching the 1 year anniversary, I decided to take another year off and do some personal work. I trained with Jack Canfield because I was, for no other reason than I was lost and I had no idea what to do. But caring about other people's problems was impossible because I was just trying to get through the day.
I don't want to hear it. I don't want to know it all.
This is Franz Black singing Anything, one of the smoothest love songs ever written.
You can give a secret, you can give the facts to yourself. Baby, I don't need possessions and the other things we've got.
Find out more on franzblack.com. That's FranzBlack.com. Or listen on Spotify, iTunes, and Amazon.
You want to be loved by you. Please, baby, you can do anything.
I can't get over the amazing quality of these Emma Louisa earrings. So elegant and dainty. And I love the fact that they're 14 karat gold plated, so I can keep them in as long as I want. And they will not infect my ears. Emma Louisa jewelry offer exceptional quality, crafted with care from the best noble metals, and come with a 365-day warranty. Today, I'm pairing my chic earrings with the layered chain necklace set. Three necklaces, two rope chains with a beautiful medallion as the centerpiece. I love this look. It can be both luxurious and simple at the same time. I chose these pieces because I can wear them with just a plain white t-shirt and jeans or with an elegant black evening dress. I plan to interchange the medallion with the Ana Luisa green aventurine stone necklace to give me some calm and energy. I absolutely recommend checking out Ana Luisa. Head over to shop.analuisa.com/transform. I love them. Their pieces start at $39 with sales up to 25% off. Get your holiday gift at shop.analuisa.com/transform. That is shop.analuisa.com/transform. Right, exactly. Yeah, so I remembered her saying that. And of course, you know, she's doing the exact same thing that you're doing now. Once you've healed, you're able to take the knowledge that you learned from going through that traumatic experience and helping others through it. You opened up, you know, the company that was called Grief Hab, and you're helping others. And that's why I do believe that God gives you a test. I mean, you know, and I think one of the things that she was saying that people would say that she was very upset when people told her that her husband had to die for her to find her purpose. And I'm not saying that to you, but we don't know, you know, if that's the reason that it happened to you so that you can go through the pain. How do you feel about that?
I think it takes a really high level of self-awareness and work to recognize that. I do believe I had always been, and she was a psychologist also, we had always been in the healing field. but it took it to a new level for me. Like, I am on a mission to change the way the world views grief and mental health, because my experience showed me how similar they are.
Okay. So yeah. So in the end, you know, God gave you a test so that you can have a testimony, right? And that's basically, you know, whether it's preordained or, you know, he just, you know, changes it as it goes, you know, but that's basically what you're doing. So that's awesome. So we are now in a situation where people are dying suddenly, you know. My neighbor told me that, you know, he had a partner that he was, you know, working with for 27 years, and he went in a hospital with COVID in one day, and then 2 days later he was dead. People are dying suddenly from this COVID thing. So we're in this grief. And then, oh my goodness. I mean, I have a lot of data on this. I mean, I was reading AARP a couple of months back, and people were talking about how horrible it is that when their loved ones were dying, they couldn't get to say goodbye because of COVID, especially in the nursing homes. They couldn't go into nursing homes. This woman said that she had to see her mother through a glass window and things like that. So we are in some unprecedented times with the coronavirus pandemic. So how do you address that in your company or as a psychologist? Is it any different than, I don't know.
I think that we're seeing bigger numbers. I mean, people are losing businesses. There's loss everywhere. So I hope that people are more willing to understand and learn, because I don't think you understand it until you experience it. But whether you prepare, the unexpected trauma is real. And you do not need permission from me or your boss or your mother or your sister or anyone. Your job is to survive and heal. And we're not taught that. We live in this world that bounces back and has drive-throughs and Amazon, like instant gratification, and there isn't any. And you need to heal and get through it however it feels right for you. And that's different than it will for me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So yeah. So so any particular advice on that? I know you talked about tuning out the noise and not letting people expectations, saying, well, hey, you know what, you know, you should have gotten over it by now, kind of thing. You know what I mean? And any advice as a psychologist that you have for somebody that's going through, you know, a loss of a loved one during this pandemic?
Do not.
Or you're right. Jobs or homes or.
Right. You know, right. Right. Moving because of the, it's uprooted millions of people's lives, and you are not alone. And grief can be isolating, and you can feel different and lonely. And there are people who get it. You need to have a support system, and that's important. And I don't care if I help you find it. If you can think of one person, that needs to happen immediately. Like, my people, we're on the phone with each other, like making a plan. I'll check in with Sam on Monday. You get Tuesday. We need that.
Okay. So yeah. So just having a support group and or somebody, loved ones that you can talk to or call into your grief hab, you know, 24/7. Yeah, you know, talking really does help. And that's one of the things that you know, it unburdens, you know, and even if it's somebody is just listening and they're not actually physically doing anything, it does help, correct?
We're taught the opposite. I believe if we do not talk about it, it will resurface in other ways, whether that's our health or our relationships or our mood. Talking is the way through it. And loved ones and friends, please be patient with us. It might be uncomfortable for you, but it is the only way we will heal.
Yeah, you gotta talk through it, right? Okay, all right. Well, our topic of our conversation today is how does grief and mental health issues, what do they have in common? So you've also bridged them when you were talking on your originally, you know, on the intro. So talk about that. What are the stages of grief, and how does it affect your mental health? I'm assuming.
I do not believe that you can grieve without it. I think everybody has anxiety and depression going through the grieving process, and there's such stigmas around both. So I have anxiety. I've lived with the world of mental health stigmas. When I was in early in my healing journey, I learned that people treat someone grieving the same way. They don't know how to act around you. They don't know what to say. So, and so I felt all of this stigma, and all I had done was lose my husband. So what they have the most in common is that they can be isolating and alienating. And I am trying to make noise and let the world know that everything we know is backwards. We have to talk about it. We have to lean on each other. And the stigmas are backwards, and we need each other. And I am one voice, and anyone that's willing to share their personal stories, even just saying I'm having a bad day, that is what will change the world. People don't know we're grieving. It's invisible. Mental health is invisible, right? And we don't talk about it. So if we don't tell people, if we don't start conversations, it's going to continue the way it is right now.
All right. So where we're having the connection between grief and mental health is in the anxiety and the depression. That's what you're talking about. Yeah, because you can't grieve without going through anxiety and depression. I see. But also, they also are saying that there's 7 stages of grief. So where does the anxiety and depression fit in? You know,
there's pressure to attend A, B, C, D, and E immediately. I don't talk to anyone who has experienced a loss that doesn't have some sort of anxiety about going back to work or attending the such and such event. Even if it's virtual right now in this day and age, because we are not okay. And we live in this world that puts on a happy face and acts okay. And I want people to know you don't have to do that. You can attend the meeting and say it's a rough one. There are compassionate people who will say, how can I help? And there are also people who will hear it and say, me too. And we're opening that conversation and letting the world know don't hide it. Let's talk about it. If we had a mental health room that we could all go into when we needed 5 minutes, I wouldn't have people calling me from the bathroom hysterical.
So the process of grieving, is it different when it's, you know, your husband or your child, or is it different when it's maybe your house or your job? Is there gradations to grief? That's really my question.
No, it's a tidal wave, and it comes and it goes, and it doesn't end. And so you get through. In the beginning, it's like you're drowning. And you come up and you come up and, you know, you find a buoy or somebody to hold on to. That's one of your supports. And that's how it is for a while. But eventually you can swim and float. And then all of a sudden a wave comes out of nowhere and knocks you down. And it could be a month later or a year later or a decade later.
Okay.
And that's what people don't know or see.
Right. Yes. So as a psychologist, is there a way to do something to prevent the grief coming back like a decade later? You know, for instance, you know, you lost your husband and the first 3 years was tough. The first year, the worst, and then you got better. And in the third year, let's say that a decade later, maybe, I'm just going to assume here, let's say that you guys didn't have children, and a decade later, you see a friend with grandchildren, and it comes back. Is there something
that linear? It never left. It doesn't get better. It gets different. And so that's why people expect holidays and anniversaries and certain things to be difficult days, right? And they're more likely to be there for, it could just be next Tuesday and it could be a difficult day for no reason. Good things are met with sadness because the person you want to share it with the most isn't physically here. So it's always there. And I think the toolbox is, it knocked me to my knees in the beginning and I was down and out. And I would barely get myself back together. And then something would come and knock me right back to my knees. It's not like that now. If something happens, I can cope and get through it. It's still painful, but I have learned how to navigate so that I'm not back down on my knees.
Okay. So yeah, well, that was the question I was going to ask. So is that something that a psychologist helps with? Let's say that you go for therapy. And in the therapy office, they're, you know, they're trying to maybe get you to dig deep and unearth some of those things, those triggers. That's the word. Does that help, you know, going through that psychologist? Now, how would you help somebody that's going through grief in their toolbox?
So I could do something with you that is completely different from what I'll do with the next person, because no two journeys are the same. But what I do with everyone is focus on now. And getting through this moment, there is so much worrying about the future. I had no idea what was next. That's too much. We just have to get through one moment, then 1 hour, then one day. And I just don't think anyone should go through it alone. There are so many people who have negative stereotypes about psychologists. If that's not your thing, find a group, find something, because it is traumatic. Your brain changes, the way you function changes. People, including me, say, I think I'm going crazy because you can't. I went to the University of Michigan. I can't perform the same way I did. My brain has been altered because of a trauma.
Now on all streaming platforms, such as Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon, and Pandora, is the beautiful original song called Fame by James Zeta. The opening track comes from the same title album, Fame, and is about the singer George Michael. If you love 80s, 90s music, but with a fresh modern twist, then you'll love the music of James Zeta. You can find out more at his website, www.jameszeta.com.
Sexy every time you step out? Then come shop at Oh So Sexy, your home on Etsy for all things trendy. Discover cool tops, bottoms, dresses, phone cases, hats, and lots of other amazing accessories. Our products are one of a kind and feature unique designs that inspire confidence and leave you feeling sexy, whether you're outside or just lounging in the house. Here's the clothes and fashion accessories that give your style an edge. Come shop at Oh So Sexy. Visit our store at www.etsy.com/shop/Oh So Sexy. That is etsy.com/shop/OOHSOOO. S-E-X-X-Y. Are you a minority who is sick of living paycheck to paycheck? Are you exhausted from the 9-to-5 rat race and struggle just to pay your bills? Would life be better if you were earning passive income while building generational wealth for you and your family? If the answer is yes, then check out the Minority Landlords podcast. Download from any of your favorite podcasting apps. The Minority Landlord podcast will help you learn proven strategies and how you can earn passive income, reach financial freedom in just a couple of years, and build generational wealth for you and your family. You can also visit us at minoritylandlords.com.
Yeah. That is very interesting. Trauma, big word, big, you know, they call it big T traumas and little T traumas. And yes, trauma is a big thing. So what you're saying that we take one day at a time, we work with the present moment. That is how everything changes, is in the present moment. You can't go back to the past. You can't go into the future. All change happens in the present moment. That's not just for, you know, grief or whatever. Even if you want to succeed in life, you know, sure, you can make some plans, but all the change, you know, happens in the present moment. So you talked about that. You talked about having someone to talk to, whether it's a support group, whether it's loved ones and family. You talked about grief being like a tidal wave where, you know, it comes and it goes, right? There's good days and there's bad days, but you're normally triggered by either a memory or, you know, your brain, it keeps recycling things and all that. So,
can I add,
go ahead. Mm-hmm.
I would also add listening to your body. This is something else that we're not necessarily taught, but if you don't eat, your stomach will eventually growl. There are clues. Our body gives us clues. When the phone rings and it's your mom and you can't wait to answer, that's a clue. Because when the phone rings and it's Joe Schmo and you dread answering, that's data. And when we are especially recovering, healing, we don't need to answer the negative. We don't need to bring anything negative into our universe. So listening to setting a timer and knowing you need nutrition, listen, crying if you need to cry, that's really important to get through it. Because I don't know about you, but I was taught the opposite. I was taught to fight it and you know, sports, like get back out there.
Yeah. Well, you know, yeah, I mean, one of the things I heard when you're saying, you know, people don't know what to say is, people don't know what to say. And I experienced that recently where someone had a loss and I didn't know how to say it, because they said, don't say things like, he or she is in a better place. Don't say things like, you know, you will get through it. I mean, you don't know what to say. So nobody knows how to counsel or what to say to make someone feel better. So I get that part. So you don't know what to say, right? And people are thinking that, you know, this too shall pass, which is, you know, one of my favorite things, you know, this too shall pass. And it does, but, you know, people are expecting you to, you know, get over it, I guess, at some point in time. So, you know, listening to your body is what you're saying is, you know, if you know that somebody is negative, you don't really want to talk to them. Is that what you're saying? You don't want to answer the phone unless you feel good about answering the phone. Is that it?
I'm also talking about crying if you need to cry. They're sleeping. Yeah. If it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon, if you are tired, you're probably not sleeping through the night. So stop this negative self-talk of, oh my God, it's 2 o'clock. I can't take a nap. No, if your body needs to sleep, sleep. If your body needs to eat, eat. And I didn't know my body needed to eat. I needed to set timers. There's all kinds of things. And most people fight crying. And that's a big one.
Sorry. Yeah. You took a sip of the water and went down the wrong way. Yeah. Wow. Okay. So what I wanted to get to though, we know depression. Depression is you're sad. You know, things don't make you joyous that you used to do. Depression, anxiety is, you know, I mean, I shouldn't be saying this, you're the psychologist, but I'm just saying what I understand it to be. Anxiety is, you know, you feel anxious about going to places. You talked about going to events where, you know, people are, maybe do you think people are looking at you or something? So what is the toolbox that somebody can help with depression and anxiety?
Again, listening to it and honoring it. There are things I didn't go to. It was more important for me not to go than to force myself to go sooner than I was ready. So that's important. Your body is giving you a clue. Anxiety can be a gift if used the right way. What I would say is that I also was honest about it. I am not okay. Because people expect you to come in and be the person you were or perform the way you performed. And again, it's invisible. So I wanted people to know I'm not okay. Maybe then they'll hold back that one comment that would have sent me over. Who knows? But it's data.
Right. But do you think that people go around saying that they're not okay? Most people don't.
No, we are not taught. I think we should add it to, we should be allowed to raise our hand in school and say, I'm not okay. Like, we are not taught that. So I could give you all sorts of concrete resources, but we have to be able to acknowledge that or people think we're okay.
Yeah. So instead of not raising your hand and say, I'm not okay, what people do is isolate, right? They stay in their homes because they don't want to go out. They don't go to church. They don't go into these places because they're anxious about it. They don't want people to ask them about it. How are you doing? Because people will come and ask you how you're doing. They don't want to keep answering the question. So they isolate. And isolate, this obviously makes it worse, right?
Absolutely. Although I definitely was less social through my healing journey, but not because I was hiding in a corner. I healed through doing things in nature. So I was very, very active. But I didn't, being around a bunch of happy people, it was hard for me. I wasn't in that place.
Right.
So you don't necessarily have to, you know, I was a social butterfly. You don't have to heal that way, but you cannot do it alone in a corner, even though it feels like no one else gets it. There are people who get it, and finding them. Some of the most important people in my healing were people who lost their husband earlier than I did, because they had ideas and tips for me and they could tell me I wasn't crazy. So you need those people, and we are not taught that. So when I work with people one-on-one, the first thing we do is we create a help plan. We can say I'll call 10 people, but if they're not 10 people we're really going to call, it's a useless plan.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So you talked about going in nature. You talked about, for the anxious, you know, you don't want to go out there. So what can a family member, let's say that I have somebody that's going through the grieving process, what are some of the things that I can do to help? For one, this is very important, because I remember what you shouldn't say to somebody, but what is it that you should say? What was it that, if you just lost your husband and I'm at your funeral, what should I say to you?
You're right. People don't know. And most people then say nothing, say anything, say thinking of you, say I'm here for you. The open end, like, what do you need, is a very stressful question. We don't know the answer. But just be there for us. I say to people, meet me where I am, not where I was. And if that means we're wearing pajamas and sitting outside having a conversation instead of going somewhere social, that's what I need right now to get through it. So I would say ask questions to get that information. And I always tease and tell people, multiple choice, not essay. Right? Like, say, I'm going to the store and I'm getting you stuff. Do you want bread or milk? Like, I can answer that question.
Right. Yes. Wow. Yes. It is heartbreaking. And I thought I heard somewhere the other day that somebody said, the same woman that lost her husband, she was saying that people came and helped her clean her house and cook for her, because these are things that you have no interest in doing. You know what I mean? So, but nobody ever really thinks about that. You know what I mean?
To the person grieving, I would say, think about the things that are most stressful for you, because people will ask, what can I help you with? And if you have that list, it's easier to answer or let them know. And maybe one person picks laundry and one person picks helping with shopping.
Right. Yes. Wow. Yes. Yeah, that is, it's a tough journey. And you know something, each one of us is going to be touched with it in our lives, because death is something that happens, and it's unavoidable. And we are going to be, you know, not everybody lives until they're 95. There's going to be sudden death, your 30s, 20s, or whatever, where people don't expect it. And that's when it's harder. But, you know, we're all going to be touched with it.
And grief, I really felt like I needed rehab. There is rehab for everything else. There is support for everything else. So to the people listening, I get it that a light bulb burning out feels like the end of the world. I get it. What I do is take all of that off of your plate so you can survive and heal. And you can find people to do that, because those basic tasks can send you over the edge in the beginning.
Many times we are interested in health and wellness as a tool for productivity. Productivity is key, but achievers like us also need space and support to rest. Visit ZicoWellness.com for all natural plant-based herbal supplements to give you the clarity, balance, and rest you deserve. The ingredients are soothing, backed by science, and will truly improve your energy during the day and rest at night. Zico Wellness Company is Black woman owned. So head over to ZicoWellness.com, use the code TRANSFORM for 15% off today. That website again is XICOWELLNESS.com. Sometimes finding the right words can turn the ordinary into the extraordinary. Introducing the new book by Rhonda H. Holmes, Love Letters for the Romantically Challenged. If you would like to romance your lover with words of seduction and fantasy, save your relationship, or just find the right words to move on, Love Letters for the Romantically Challenged deals with issues covering a variety of situations in 8 categories, capturing the essence of what goes on between two people. If you're willing to go beyond the surface, pick up your copy of Love Letters for the Romantically Challenged now, available at Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
Are you having an event, party, or celebration? Or how about you just want some delicious soul food for you and the family? I guarantee you, if you try Old Snap Catering and Event, you'll say, wow, this is the best soul food I've had in a long time. Especially when you try our golden fried chicken. It is so juicy. And our creamy macaroni and cheese and flavored collard greens. So, if you're in the mood for some delicious food, come on and try us. Call us at 404-725-4853, or even better, check out our website at oldsnapcateringandevents.com. So snap your fingers and I'll see you soon.
Hello, everyone. This is children's author J.T. Granger. Now that the holidays are here, don't forget to give your loved ones something meaningful this holiday season, like the gift of good literature. Order a copy of my new children's book, Holly the Elf, A Christmas Tale, and get that special someone a gift that will last a lifetime. It's available in hardcover, paperback, ebook, and audio. You can find it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, IndieBound, and most online bookstores, or by going to hollytheelf.com. That's HOLLYTHEELF.com, and click on the books page. This year, don't fear. Order a copy of Holly the Elf, A Christmas Tale, and spread a little holiday cheer.
sense. It's it's a tough road. So how can we help break some of the mental health stigmas where you said anxiety and depression, but in the traditionally people don't really think about those as mental health issues. They think of mental health, the stigma of mental health is when they think that you maybe have, you know, something else going on with you, because until recently people didn't think depression and anxiety was part of mental health. So there is stigma around mental health. So how do you think that we can erase those stigmas?
I think it's similar to grief. I think by talking about it, again, it's invisible. So people don't know, and they don't know what we need. So I hope conversations, when I tell people I have anxiety, a lot of people ask questions because they don't know. Or people will say, my relative, or it starts conversations. So I know we're not taught to do it. I'm asking you to think about just one baby step. You know, telling one person, starting one conversation. It doesn't have to be going on the news and telling the world, but we won't change things if we continue to hide it and make it like it's something bad.
Right. Okay. All right. So you're saying to get rid of the stigma is to tell people how you're feeling, right? Don't be ashamed of it, right? But that's easier said than done, because most people are ashamed of it.
And until I lost my husband, I thought I knew it all. What I learned about the way we are taught to deal with it isn't working. Hiding it, pretending you're fine, putting on a happy face will make it more intense and last longer. So I'm not just asking you to join my movement and help break stigmas. In your healing and in your recovery and in order to live successfully, which you can, and millions do, you have to own it and accept it and recognize it before you'll be able to see it as your superpower.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Getting to feel that it's your superpower is definitely the end game or the end goal. Awesome. All right. So you wrote your book. I see it behind you. And it is called Ruthless, right? So tell us. Okay. Yeah. So tell us, you know, about your book, why you wrote it. What do you want the reader to walk away with at the end of reading it, if it's, you know, anything different than what we've talked about here?
Redefining Ruthless is not out yet, but it will be. I don't know, you know, sometime end of this year or next year. But I am a co-author in several books where I've contributed a chapter. And the first one was Women Who Illuminate.
That's behind you. Right.
This is Women Who Illuminate. It is... Okay. 30 international. It usually has like a 30 stories that will change your soul. My chapter is Infinite Love. And it was the first thing I wrote that I shared with the world ever. My second was called Permission Granted, or Permission to Grieve, in a book called Permission Granted.
Okay.
And I think it's important that the world understands that you have to grieve, you have to heal, you can't ignore it. Everything I'm saying, it's the same for grief and mental health. So.
Right. Okay. And then, okay. So tell us about your book that's coming up. You know, what is it that you're sharing in there? And you know, there's going to be a transcript of our conversation on my blog. So when the book is out, just send me a note and I'll add the link to your book so that people can go get it. But tell us about it. And why is it Ruthless? It's an interesting name.
Well, my last name is Ruth, and I lost him, and I became Ruthless. But Ruthless is perceived to be a negative word, right?
Yeah, right. Yes.
Redefining Ruthless is my journey of becoming ruthless and why that's a good thing. And it's very similar to my work with clients, where I want people to see negative things as strengths, you know, perceived weaknesses as advantages. So here I'm taking this negatively charged word and making it a good
thing. Yeah, that's interesting, because I would never have gotten that. I'm thinking, you're right. It was not necessarily negative, but it draws the person that's just cutting trees down as they go along and ruthless. You know what I mean? Forging a path ahead, regardless of the collateral damage. That's what I'm thinking.
Right.
Ruthless. But the name Ruth, you know, in the Bible is a, you know, it's a very powerful name, right? So, right. So it's very biblical and has some good connotations to it. So ruthless. Okay. So now that you are, you know, you're Ruth and you're less, you're a spouse, and I'm assuming you're talking about your journey ruthless with your spouse, and you know, maybe you're giving women hope that even ruthless, that you can still have all the things that you want in life, because you've gone back to being a psychologist, you've opened up, you know, a grief counseling, you know, place that people can come and heal. And so you said this happened in, your husband died when, in 2017?
December 27th, so the very end.
So it's 5 years now, because we're in 2021.
No, it'll be 4 years at the end of December.
4 years. Okay. All right. So 4 years. So you've come a long way, because you said it took you 3 years to actually get over to the other side, right?
It absolutely took me more than two. There's something about getting past that 2 year mark. And I see that with my clients as well. So to people earlier in your journeys, hang in there. But yes, and part of being ruthless is being true to myself, following what I think is right, not necessarily what you do or my dad does or the world does. So it's all of that. And writing also is a way that I healed. Another way that people can get it out. You don't have to talk to 30 people. You don't have to join a big support group, but you can't keep it all in. So it's an outlet. And a lot of people, I didn't plan to write a book. I was just trying to get through the day. So you never know what'll come.
Yeah, I'm actually starting to coach someone in a couple of weeks that wrote a chapter in a book to get out her story and grieving in a different way, you know. But what happened to her is, it's almost the same as what happened with me. That, you know, I wrote my book about my journey, you know, as being sexually abused. And then there was shame about letting everybody know. And she's experiencing the same shame now because she put her story out there, even though it was probably good to write it. Then a lot of times when you do write it, because when you write it, if you're going to do the proper job, you have to cut yourself open. And you have to say all the things that you're feeling and, you know, whatever. And then what you do, you're thinking a lot of people are, you know, talking and looking at you or whatever. So any circle back on that? If somebody writes.
Every single time you submit something, because I now have a book that I have authors writing, people are like, oh my God, what did I just do? Like there is an instant reaction like, oh, people are going, I can't take it back now. What I would say is that for whatever percent, whatever negative feedback you think of the people who need to hear that chapter or that story, that one person that you might open their eyes to a different way.
Yes. Yes. Great. Okay. All right. Well, I'm glad because then everybody says, yes. So why did I say all that?
What did I do?
Right. Okay. That's awesome. All right. So tell us now about Grief Hab, your 24/7 support community. How can someone get in touch with you? You know, tell us about your website. Tell us, you know, how you help people so that anybody that's listening, because I'm pretty sure that the law of attraction, a lot of people that are listening to this would have gone through some kind of grief, and your words and your encouragement and, you know, they're probably going to want more, right? So
there's two elements to Grief Hab. One, it's 24/7 support community. You don't have to wait until your next appointment to talk to somebody. You don't have to struggle. There's always support available. And that's a free community on Facebook. You can go there on Facebook, Grief Hab, or it's on my website. And it's if somebody wants to lay all day in bed and watch Netflix and somebody else wants to, you know, go tackle a major goal, there's no judgment. This is about healing your way and asking the questions that you don't feel safe asking anywhere else. And then I do people who feel that they need more support, like I did, like sending out the death certificates and dealing with the creditors and all the things, that getting the light bulb changed, finding somebody to get your groceries and make things so you don't have to do anything. I do all of that in addition to working with you, but I do all of that so that you, I'm telling you, when I had to present a death certificate, it knocked me down. So
Yeah.
I don't want other people to, you know, those are tasks that we can do for you so you can just heal.
Wow. This is heavy. All right. So you've got a Facebook group called Grief Hab, which is GRIEFHAB. And I'm assuming there's griefhab.com. Is that the website?
Mm-hmm. But it's also, it'll take you right to SamanthaRuth.com. But you can go to SamanthaRuth.com.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, Samantha, you know, thank you very much for this illuminating conversation about grief and mental health and taking people to the process of, you know, grief. You know, we're living in these times where, you know, every family is being touched by it in some way. So, I'm empathetic to your story. You know, sometimes they say when you break a bone, it comes out stronger. I'm hoping that you're stronger now than you were before, if that's a good thing or not.
I absolutely am. I am the best version of myself. I wish Jim was here to share it with me, but absolutely, I'm strong.
Right, exactly. So that's basically what I'm saying. You're stronger now because of this crisis and this trauma that you've been through. And anybody that's listening, people tell you that time heals all wounds, and it, you know, as Samantha says, maybe it doesn't heal it totally, but it becomes less painful, you know, and maybe less frequent, you know, longer being hit down by a tidal wave every day. Maybe the wave only comes, you know, once a month or once a decade, but, you know, I'm hoping that we were able to shed some light on this topic today and give you an alternative to help you get through this. So check out SamanthaRuth.com, her Facebook and her website. I will have a transcript of my conversation with Samantha on the show page, which is blog.myhelps.us, which will link out to her social media site and also her website. So Samantha, thanks again. I wish you, you know, Godspeed and, you know, I hope you keep getting stronger and, you know, and doing God's work by helping others. You know, it does light you up, and helping others does service, just does light you up and help you to ease whatever pain or emptiness that you have inside. So that's what you're doing. So thank you again. And any last words before we wrap up?
You're not alone, no matter how alone you feel, and only you know the way.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, listen, thank you guys for tuning in to the Transform Your Mind to Transform Your Life radio, podcast, and television show. If you've not done so yet, please rate and review us on iTunes. So that, you know, so we can get this message out to a wider audience. So thanks again for tuning in. And until next time, blessings.
Thanks for tuning in to the Transform Your Mind to Transform Your Life radio, podcast, and television show. I hope that you are inspired today and that this starts or continues your transformation of your mindset. I want to remind you to support the advertisers who support the show and to head over to shop.annaluisa.com/transform for 25% off their holiday sale. Again, that website is shop.annaluisa.com/transform.